irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Jim and Jamal Potts back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for joining us on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening, whatever the case may be. Jamal, how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Living the dream. I can't complain.
Oh, that's good, man. You know, it's funny, before we went on the air, we were talking about sports. Yeah, you're not a big baseball fan, but I am. I got my New York Yankees on, so, you know, they're out of it. But we got a heck of a World Series going on, and I'm wearing my Dodger blue here, so... At any rate, hoping that the Dodgers could pull it out after they made this big mistake last night. But, hey, you know, one thing at a time. At any rate.
Hey, wait a minute. Real quick, since we're talking about sports real quick, man, I want to give a special shout-out today, man. I want to give a shout-out to the Washington football team today and their victory over Dallas today, man. Hey, man, okay. I was so excited. Hey, anytime Dallas lose, it's a great day, man, as far as I'm concerned, man. I can hear with the Dallas theme show, man. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Well, I actually watched the game since I'm a Washington fan, so I wasn't really going to bring it up for my Dallas people out there. They got
palpitations. That's what I did for you, man.
It is what it is.
Hey, they tied for first place with two wins, man. That's outstanding.
No, we're tied for second, they said. We're a half game behind Philadelphia.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. It doesn't look the whole. But listen, let's not get off into that. We got enough to talk about. Hey, good luck to the Dodgers tonight. So hopefully the Dodgers will pull it. I know we got some Florida people out there that listen. But hey, what can I say? I'm pulling for the Giants. For the Dodgers. All right. Hey, listen. Today we're going to be talking about. We're gonna start off with talking about the. Whether or not there's going to be this civil unrest. We didn't get a chance really to get into that last week when we spoke. Was that kind of at the end? And, you know, people have written to me and also commented to me verbally that it's too bad, Jamal, that our show is only 50 minutes. Some people think our show ought to be longer. I don't know. This is what it is. It's 50 minutes, you know, so we do try to get it all in. But people out there are saying that they really enjoy us having these conversations and things of that nature. But, hey, it is what it is. It's 50 minutes. Hey, we try to get to it.
Thank you, and thank you to them for listening to us and tuning in every week.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to be talking about that. And we also got some, you know, so I got some inquiries about the Electoral College. People don't think it's fair. So I did a little research on that. I mean, I'm already familiar with it. I'm sure some of the listeners are. We'll be talking about that. And then, you know, it keeps coming up about these different hate groups and things of that nature. On some things going on right now. People have asked about the Proud Boys and this and that. So we're going to be talking about some of that today as well. All right? So time permitting. But before we get into it, Jamal, if you don't have any shout-outs, I got a shout-out that I want to do to one of our listeners that listens to us every week. I don't think she's missed a show. She has actually been on the air, you know, before, and as well as has sent me email. So she's way out there in Virginia. Her name is Camille, and she just got diagnosed for COVID-19. So, hey, Camille, we wish you the best. Do whatever you have to do. And, you know, follow the doctor's orders if you're under doctor's care. And we're all hoping and praying for you. Okay?
Absolutely. Right. We actually have another family member. I don't know if they want to be mentioned on air or not. Their husband has COVID also. And my prayers is out there with them as well.
Okay. Well, very good. I wasn't aware of that one, Jamal. So let's talk off the air.
All right.
On that as well. Okay. Listen, I got a couple of blasts I want to put out there. Jamal, I got a couple of blasts. Do you have a blast that you want to do? You could go first.
I couldn't wait for you to ask, man. Okay, absolutely, man. I want to put Jeffrey Toobin on blast. I don't know if you know. I don't know from CNN. I don't know if people know who he is, but just he's a legal writer and TV analyst who accidentally, during the break on a Zoom meeting, who accidentally was caught seeing visually pleasuring himself in front of everybody. He apparently thought they was on a break and he had muted the chat, but everybody could still see him.
You mean like his co-workers?
Yeah.
Oh wow. He
watched everybody that was able to watch the Zoom meeting was able to see.
I'm sorry, people
were asking, well, why didn't they stop him to say something? Well, it's kind of rude to do that. You know what I mean? So I guess
to interrupt him in his pleasure.
His happy time. He was on break. You don't disturb a man when he's on his break. What he do with his personal time is his personal time.
You know,
but he apologized to family and co-workers, and he apologized to his wife. Now, personally, I think his wife owes him an apology. He shouldn't have had to do that.
Well, we're not going there, man. Give me a break, man. You know, he actually works, Jeffrey Toobin actually works for the New Yorker, is what it is. And he gets called over to do some analyst work at CNN. So probably people who watch CNN and are listening to us, they probably know who he is. But that's shameful, man. I don't know what to say, man. This is, you know, that's totally insane. Let's put it that way. I mean, caught like that. So hey, let's let Jeffrey alone, Jamal. I think all that needs to be said is, you know, has been said. Let's put it that way.
I agree. Leave him alone, man.
Okay. Hey, listen, here's the deal. I got a couple things I want to put on blast. I want to put on blast, and it's not a person, Jamal. I actually want to put on blast State Measure 20. We're all getting ready to vote in California. Some people have probably already voted. But State Measure 20, you got to look at very, very closely. On the ballot itself, there is no mention of the fact that they're going to be collecting the suspect's DNA. For certain crimes, it only talks about for certain crimes, this and that. But you got to actually go online and look up State Measure 20. So there's not enough information on some of these state measures for those of you that are listening in California. So I went online, I looked up State Measure 20, and they're talking about for certain misdemeanors, Jamal, that they're going to be collecting the suspect's DNA and putting that stuff in a database. That is not on the official ballot form. So when you look at the measure itself, It reads differently than the actual everything else that's behind it. See, that's a caution that we need to send out to voters in general. They get those voters, you know, their voters pamphlet, you know, or their that they just go and they can just check off the boxes, et cetera. You got to research some of that stuff. I'll give you another example. State Measure 17, and this is actually on the ballot itself. State Measure 17 is voting yes or no regarding individuals that have served their time never being able to vote again because they did time. So when they get out of prison, okay, they lose their right to vote. Now, see, I don't agree with that.
I'm in complete agreement with you. If you served your time and paid your debt to society and, you know, you should be able to vote again because these decisions that they make, you know, can impact your life. You know what I mean?
Well, and I agree with that. That's why I don't really like that particular measure. I guess, you know, they put it on there, whoever put it on there. I'm not sure exactly who put it on there. But, I mean, we're a society that, look, if you do your time, you made a mistake. You did your time. You served your time. If you served your time, why should that particular right be taken away from you? That's voting.
Right.
That's a constitutional guarantee.
Absolutely.
You know, now, vice versa to that, part of the controversy that I'm sure we've all heard at one point or another is then what about felons being able to now get guns? Now, think about that, because that's under the Second Amendment that says, and I know there's a big Second Amendment argument out there, but under the Second Amendment, you cannot get a firearm after you cannot be in possession of a firearm after you've committed a felony and done your time when you get out. Now, see, there's two differing views right there. But to me, voting is one thing. A person that did time for, let's just say, I don't know, assault or whatever the case may be, and you can't have a weapon again. Well, I kind of understand that. Jamal, what do you think?
I kind of somewhat understand it. If they were a violent offender, then no, absolutely not. But if they were not a violent offender and they're not a physical threat or an endangerment to somebody's lives, then I don't see what the problem is of them owning a gun after they served their time. I mean, let's just say they went to jail for, I don't know, fraudulent checks as an example or something like that. That doesn't mean that they're in danger to somebody's life. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if they haven't committed any acts of violence, let's say within 10 years, over a 10-year period of time that they've been released and never been in trouble with the law, then what's the problem?
Look, again, that's one of the controversies out there. I was trying to put in the dial-in number for anybody who wants to dial in, but for some reason it's not reflecting very well. I'm going to try and hold it up there again. Okay, that's a little bit better from that perspective. So if anybody's interested in calling in and commenting, there's the information. I'll hold it there for another few seconds. And then, just follow those instructions, the number, then the meeting ID, and then the passcode, if you want to comment on any of this. But Jamal, but you see where those are two differing situations. One is voting, which is not harmful to anybody.
Okay? Right.
And then the other one, although they're both, guaranteed by the Second Amendment, by the Constitution. But there's one when it comes to, like you said, a violent felon, in my opinion. I agree with you on if the person is just, white collar crime, did this or that, I don't know. But Jamal, some people may say, how do you separate that out? A felony is a felony. I mean, that's the other side of the coin.
No, there's two different kind of felonies. A violent offense is a violent offense. You know what I mean? There's two different kind of endangerments to society. You know what I mean?
Right.
And let me ask your opinion about this. What negative impact could it have if prisoners were allowed to vote?
Well, wait a minute.
I'm just curious. What could be the harm in that?
To me, you have to give up certain things, Jamal, when you commit those crimes and you go to prison. Now, there are the Prisoner's Bill of Rights. There are certain things that they can do. I mean, look, these people, Jamal, I don't know if you're aware, but some of these people, they got computers. I mean, they got their whole situations, set up. It's a lot different than being a prisoner 30 or 40 years ago. But in my opinion, there are certain things that you have to give up something, Jamal, when you commit these crimes and you go to jail. Okay, you're paying a price to society, and that to me is one of the prices. So I don't
know. That's fine, but that doesn't answer my question. What is the harm? What harm could it actually do?
Jamal, I can't say that it's any harm per se.
Okay.
I can't say that it's a harm, all right?
Right.
I just say that, look, when you commit a crime against society, meaning an individual or whatever it is, you got to give up something. This isn't, there's a punishment that comes along with that. And that to me is something you consider before you even commit the crime. Okay.
Right.
What are you giving up? Oh, I got to go sit in a jail cell, for 5 years, with three squares a day, so to speak. You got to give up something.
Yeah, bro. That's not easy, man. Sitting in jail for 5 years.
Well, I don't know. You haven't been in jail for 5 years. So, thank God. But I'm just saying, just in general, we can only imagine. But Jamal, listen. I've seen the jail system, obviously, and some of these guys, like I'm telling you, man, these guys have their own websites. There's a lot more to this. I mean, these guys aren't suffering like they used to do back in the day, but we need to move on. So at any rate, I just want to make sure that understanding state measure, you guys, take a look closely at state measure. Personally, I voted no on it. There's no way I think they should be collecting people's DNA. And I also send a message out for those of you that think about sending your DNA into Ancestry.com. You know, some of those places that you send that DNA hey, how do you know what they're doing with that DNA? Because law enforcement, I've talked about it on the air, they use some of that information in order to catch people, which some people say maybe it's not a bad thing, Jamal. I don't know. But I don't like the fact that they're putting it on there. But they did it sneaky. It's not on your ballot itself. You've got to go online and look it up. So for some of you that haven't voted yet, please take a look at some of these measures and behind the scenes. And again, I don't agree with the one about can't vote after spending their time in jail. Once they pay the debts of society, hey, come on out, be a law-abiding citizen after that. You've paid your time. And, You should be able to vote, in my opinion. Okay, let's get into some of these emails here, because they're going to take up some of our time today, because I think some people brought up some very interesting things as we talked about. Anyway, Jim, how do you feel about the debate? When I watched it, I thought it was even. I was most impressed with President Trump's demeanor. Biden interrupted more and really messed up with the oil and fracking issues. He also never should have told President Trump to put it on his website to prove he never said anything to the contrary. President Trump did, and OMG, is oh my God. So, you know, oh my God, at least five times showed Biden was not truthful at the debate. Or maybe he just couldn't remember, laugh out loud. You know, afterwards, I thought Trump won based upon this when I looked back after the debate was over and took other things into consideration. And that's from Vanessa from Denver. And you know what, Jamal, here's what was interesting. We heard and found out that after that debate, the most, what was the word that they used? The most sought after or the on the internet were people that were inquiring, how can I change my vote? For people, remember they talked about 50 million people who voted. So right. Some people who saw the debate, Jamal, wanted to change their vote after that debate. Too late now.
That's interesting, man, because, you know, I've been a tough critic of Biden, but when I watched the debate, I actually thought Biden won the debate, in my opinion. There were some things, and, you know, and maybe it was just key issues for me that I felt like Trump never really quite answered, and things that actually bothered me. How can somebody that's supposed to be pro-military, what did he do about the bounties that were put on American soldiers' lives? What actions did he take? You know, to me, those things are very important. And I don't recall him ever taking any kind of initiative against Russia for putting bounties out on soldiers, on U.S. soldiers' lives.
Okay, Jamal, that was never confirmed. The intelligence departments, and, you know, I have access to certain security sites, Jamal. Mm-hmm. I won't get into which ones they are. They said that was not accurate. Our intel community, Jamal, says there was never any type of confirmation about that at all. So it's not true, okay?
Yeah.
But people put information. You know, that's the problem with the internet, Jamal. You know, people put things out on the internet, or people just say things, and it spreads like wildfire. Once it's out there, it's out there.
Okay? Right.
You know, and, you know, people can make allegations like that. Politicians, as an example, they can make any kind of comments they want, Jamal, and can't be prosecuted for it or can't be sued. If somebody gets up on the floor of the Senate and says that they saw, you know, one of their colleagues, I'll say another senator, okay, with a five-year-old girl in the backseat of the car, okay, in the parking lot, they can't do anything about that.
Right.
So people make these comments, in my opinion. It's not always true. And I'm not talking about the left. I'm not talking about the right. I'm talking about all of them. You know,
right.
In all honesty. So, but I'm going to tell you on that particular issue, Jamal, that has never been confirmed, okay, by the intelligence community. But when it's out there, it's out there, and people use it, you know, and end of story.
And then also, what, and now I could be wrong, I don't know the details of it. When we found out that Russia was tampering with our voting system, what action did Trump actually take with that?
Okay, now wait a second. First of all, I read the Mueller report. It was 400 and some odd pages, Jamal. I read every word, sentence, okay, and paragraph, and every footnote. Okay? The Russians did interfere. But, Jamal, they started that during the Obama administration, and the Obama administration knew about it. So when you say, what did Trump know about it, just remember, at the time that it happened, he wasn't privy to any of that. They never even talked to him about that. That's well known.
That's not what I asked. I said,
I understand what you, okay.
Once the U.S. president, the sitting U.S. president, after the investigation was done, what did Trump do about it? What actions did he take against Russia for interfering after he found out that it happened? What did he do?
Jamal, once again, with these things, what he did specifically, I think that they levied sanctions. They did some different things. I'll tell you what. Let's research that and let's discuss it next week. How about that? Okay.
Fair enough.
Because when we say what did people do, listen, the Russians have been interfering in our elections, Jamal, for decades. You're looking at it, what did Trump do? Well, what did Obama do? What did Bush do? What did the other Bush do? I mean, this isn't anything new. The Chinese are doing it, Jamal. And I'm going to tell you something else. The hypocritical part of it is, what do you think the United States does? You don't think that the United States has not made and interfered with some of these governmental powers and stuff? Come on. All of these people do that stuff, Jamal. So when you say, what did he do per se, it's not an issue we're going to go to war over. What do you think we're going to do? As a matter of fact, wait a minute. I think that he even commented or had a comment with Putin as well. And Putin, you know, I mean, they deny it, Jamal. So, this is part of all of that politics.
And that's when he made the comment that he believes Russian intelligence over U.S. intelligence. And those kind of things bother me. But we can move on. But he did say that.
All right. I'm getting my text messages of the flying in, Jamal. They said that he did sanctions, to answer your question.
Okay. That's fair enough.
I mentioned sanctions. And it's being confirmed right now. Okay. So we'll go on from there. Let's get to the next email. Jim, it seems like the media is pushing some sort of narrative about the Proud Boys as if they are some violent extremist group. What is your thought? This is Bruce from Mahwah, New Jersey. Look, first of all, let me tell you guys about the Proud Boys, okay? Because, Jamal, even you and I have talked about the Proud Boys. You know, who are these people? So it was timely and consistent with some of the behind-the-scenes things that you and I have talked about. First of all, the Proud Boys were founded in 2016. There are 44 chapters of the Proud Boys around the country, all right? 44 chapters. Now, they started out, okay? It started out in New York City. And what they say that they are not extremists, all right? That's not what their message is. Now, is what they did is that, you know, there's people who say that they are neo-fascists or whatever. It's a male-only organization, but they are self-described, meaning they themselves say that they're just Western chauvinists who adamantly deny any connection to racist whites. They insist that they are only a fraternal group spreading anti-political correctness and anti-white agenda. And is what they're talking about here is the fact that they're saying, look, we are, and I'm telling this is what they say, all right? I mean, if you read other people's thing about them, because they've been seen with some extremist groups, okay, being there, so therefore they're extremists, okay? But it appears as what they're talking about is that the anti-white guilt agenda is what they say. I was searching for the word that they use, but guilt agenda, meaning that this business about, like in Seattle, okay, or this, you know, the Black Lives Matters thing and stuff like that, that really whites have a tendency sometimes to go through this guilt trip, so they start giving everybody, you know, African Americans and other minorities things because they feel guilty, and this their philosophy is that's wrong to do that, so that's how they started. I'm sorry, were you going to say something? I didn't mean.
No, it wasn't. Oh, okay,
all right. All right, so that's who they are. So when they say that they're the Proud Boys, they're proud to be Americans, basically. All right, they don't agree with this anti-guilt, white agenda, or anti-white guilt agenda. They don't feel that that's the right thing necessarily to do. So that's who they are.
I believe also too. I don't think that they're an all-white group either. I think there's a couple Latino chapters also, from what I understand.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal. And I believe that because what did I tell you? They're male chauvinists. You know what I'm saying? So males are males. So it doesn't matter what they're necessarily. I mean, I don't know everybody that belongs to them. But like I said, they've got 44 chapters already. Right. And see, this is what happens when we are in this use of the Internet. This stuff just spreads. And we're going to be talking about some statistics here towards the end of the show regarding the amount of hate groups in this country. Jamal, 88 hate groups in California alone. But there's people that will say these guys are a hate group, as an example. So it's hard to always put your finger on it. And it's from all walks of life and all different issues against all different people, you know. Right. And some of them aren't against people. Some of them are just against things that they don't like to see, what's necessarily going on in America. So they form right. these, you know. So at any rate, okay. So, and again, I will say that there are those who believe that their agenda is deeper than what they are saying, Jamal. But then again, everybody's got an opinion.
Right.
So I'm only telling you what they say their platform is. I think that's important. But people on the outside of the group, you know, if they're anti right. anything, then, you know, they're extremists. But I haven't right. seen any violence out of these guys. But I don't know. You know, this is just what they say. So we'll move on from there. Here's the last one. Jim, as an African-American, I am offended that it's generally accepted that African-Americans are going to vote for Biden. The reality is that not all will. They take us for granted. Ice Cube and some other well-known black celebrities are being blasted because they are speaking up for President Trump. This is wrong. And now I will be as well, meaning I guess the person is going to vote for Trump. He has reached out to the black community, whether he gets credit or not. Quite honestly, they have not given him credit for anything. Signed, Shaniqua. It doesn't say where she's from, but, you know, Jamal, we've had these conversations, I mean, about this business.
Absolutely, man. And matter of fact, 50 Cent has been the latest victim of these attacks, because 50 Cent came out after Joe Biden announced his tax plan. 50 Cent came out and said he's in support of Joe Biden, and he thinks everybody else should vote for Joe Biden as well. And there's a lot of people in the hip hop community, you know, that feels that way. You know,
that they should vote Joe for Biden or Trump. Biden?
No, 50 Cent said they should vote for Trump.
Oh, you said Biden a minute ago. That's why I was trying to clarify that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
50 Biden.
Cent to vote for. Oh, I said when Biden came out with his tax plan,
right?
And you know, he was very upset about it and said people should vote for Trump against Joe Biden's tax plan. And I think as long right. as and people shouldn't do that. Everybody should respect people's opinions on who they want to vote for, man. You shouldn't hate anybody. You shouldn't demonize anybody, you know? And that's the problem. The hate has become way too extreme and way too unreasonable.
You know, there was a person that was being interviewed. I don't know that it was I think it was on Fox or one of the stations where the person was interviewing these people. And they turned around and said, this is, you know, that they got the survey, Jamal. So you know how they do surveys to find out who's, you know, who you're voting for. And they said, they deliberately lied and said that because they were a business owner, Jamal, and mm-hmm. they didn't want their property damaged. So when the surveyor called and they said, who are you voting for? They said, we're voting for Biden, because they were afraid to say they were voting for Trump, because if the information got out, they were concerned about backlash, you know, absolutely. And their place and their business being burned and stuff like that. And then they said they have a number of friends or people that they know that got the call on the survey. Said the same thing, because they were afraid to say anything else other than that. I mean, that's really a shame when you really look at it. Now, I saw Ice Cube. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And see, and that's the problem. You know, that's being a hypocrite. You know, you're saying that the Republicans, you know, are racist. They're this, they're that, and the other. Well, you going out destroying people's property because they're a Trump supporter. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You can't cry wolf when you're doing things like that. The other thing is, too, Ice Cube never said he supported Trump. He just said one of these two are going to have to win. And he sat down and talked to Trump because their team said they was available to talk to him. He never said he was supporting him one way or the other. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of lies about that also.
You know what, you know? Jamal? And that's true, actually, because I saw him this morning and he was being interviewed and he was just saying, look, I went to both Biden and the Trump campaigns.
He right.
Said, they told the Biden campaign said, come back after the election.
Right.
Whereas Jared, Trump's son-in-law said, okay, you know, we'll talk to you now. And they sat down and talked for 3 hours. And that's what he brought up. So, you know, and it's true. He really didn't divulge who exactly he was, you know, going to vote for. Okay, but I don't blame him. He's on the air. Right. Why would he say it? It's like Matthew McConaughey was interviewed last week, and they said, well, who are you going to vote for? Well, I prefer not to say. Well, you know, I mean, I can't speak for him, but Jamal, he's afraid not to say. What does that tell you?
Right.
They don't want the backlash.
Right.
You know, they don't want the backlash, you know, is how I look at it. So And supposedly he laid out some plan, and Trump talked about the platinum plan. The platinum plan was the plan that Ice Cube bought to him.
No, it's two different things. The platinum plan was Trump's plan.
Okay.
Cube had a different plan.
Okay.
Cube had a different plan, but Trump said that he already had a platinum plan, and so he was basically trying to compare notes.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's pretty much it was along that line. Because Cube made it clear he doesn't want to get his plans, his specific plans, mixed up across in any kind of way with Trump's plans.
Okay. Well, you know, Cube is your boy, yeah. Jamal. You've always liked him. You've been a follower and a fan.
Yeah.
So you would know. Hey, let's move on. So I think we've covered that. It is what it is. We'll see what happens. Jamal, last week we started talking about this business about the Civil War.
Right.
Whether or not there was going to be a Civil War. And, you know, again, I looked at it a little bit more. So I'm going to read a couple of things to you. But let me just ask you your opinion. What do you think about it? I mean, I talk to people. I don't know anybody's going to pick up any gun depending on, you know, who wins, who loses. I have some liberal friends that swear up and down something's going to happen after that.
I think society in America right now is so unstable that anything is possible. Anything is possible. In our, you know, everything is just unstable, man. Like, you know, between this, you know, pandemic, people being out of work, you know, everything is unstable, man. And people, and then, you know, like I said before, I feel like Trump fans the flames with certain things that he says, like, I'm not going to leave peacefully, or hinting that he wouldn't leave peacefully if he wasn't reelected and things like that, man. And you got people who out there, you know, that are followers of him, like, you know, almost to a fault. And I know last week we mentioned like the incident that happened in Michigan when they was going to kidnap the governor, you know. And I know they saying like, you know, you can't blame Trump for that kind of stuff, but there's certain ideologies that people follow. And oh, we talked about like, we've talked about like, even like radical Muslim ideologies has led to lone wolf people committing these acts of violence and terrorist acts. And so it's possible that Trump making these kind of comments, you guys should do something about this and that, could lead to these ideologies and these thoughts that provokes people to make these kind of things.
Okay, we need to clarify something, Jamal. First of all, those guys were not Republicans. Those guys were, as I understand it, not only Democrats, but they are not Trump followers. They came out and made that clear. That's the first thing. The second thing is it had nothing to do with anything about anything that Trump said. These people were just upset because of the fact that the governor was keeping them on a lockdown, and people are tired of being on a lockdown. So they just got together collectively and said, hey, let's just go do this thing.
Right.
So, quite frankly, Trump gets blamed for everything. And I was coming to that. Yeah. I'm not saying that you're per se blaming Trump. Right. Okay. But look, nobody can control Jamal. Somebody getting in a car and driving from Ohio, which has happened, and drive down to, you know, North Carolina or South Carolina because they're down there having some protest and running people over. People draw their own things, Jamal. They draw their own conclusions in their own minds. You know, I mean, you know, Jamal, you're a free thinker.
Very true.
You know, so you tell me. I mean, you listen to Trump. I mean, you listen to Biden. You're not particularly a Trump fan. But are you going to jump in your car tomorrow and run somebody over? The answer is no.
No.
Okay. Right. So, you know, like I said, everybody is so quick, Jamal, to always want to point fingers at people. And I'm not saying you. I'm saying just in general.
I get it. I get it.
So anything that happens, especially with Trump, anything that happens from a violent standpoint is Trump's fault. It's something he said. It's true. Trump makes some dumb, how do I want to say this? Some dumb A questions sometimes. I mean, excuse me, tweets sometimes. You know, yeah. He does that. I mean, because he's not a politician. He doesn't care what he says. You know, to me, he was a spoiled rich kid back in the day, Jamal. He was probably spoiled all the way through. And he's a guy that says what he wants to say when he wants to say it. That's one of the reasons he got elected, because he's not a politician. You know, and don't you think behind the scenes his people are telling him, stop tweeting, stop doing this, stop doing that? He's a free thinker. He just says what he, whatever comes to his mind, he just says. You know, and some of that stuff, you know, it's true. You and I have talked about the fact that he's
I think the fact that, you know what, I'll tell you what, here's where I give Trump a lot of credit, man, to be honest with you. I'm not a Trump supporter. I give him a lot of credit because honestly, he's one of very few people that actually earned every last vote that he got.
And that's
Because everybody was against him, even Republicans in the beginning. Everybody laughed at him. So every last vote that he actually got, he actually earned. It wasn't a case of him, he's a Republican, so everybody's going to vote for him. I don't think he got it that way automatically. You know what I mean? I will give him credit for that.
We got, okay, for our technical person out there, we've got a person that says they're trying to call in. They're on hold, and they're trying to, I guess, call in. Because I put the number up there, and now I got a text message. So somebody is trying to get to us, I guess, to comment on some of the things we're talking about. So our technical people behind the scenes, if they could pick up the call and let us know, that'd be great.
Hold the number up one more time to make sure they got the right number. I mean, I believe they did, but, you know.
Yeah, I gave them the. I told you they text me, so I texted the number back to the person.
Okay, got you.
So you know, to follow the, and they said they're on hold. If they're on hold, they're on hold.
Okay.
So I don't think that should be a problem, but I'll give the person the number again because the person is probably listening. 669-900-6833. The meeting ID is 818-8144-1240, and the passcode is 922-860. Okay, so hopefully the person gets through. So Jamal, but I did a little research on it. Okay, so I'm going to share some of that with you as well. All right. So basically, it says almost a third of United States voters believe a civil war is on its way, and that's a bleak commentary on the growing tensions around the country due to coronavirus, shutdown. And police policies that have manifested in destruction and defacement of historical monuments and memorials, anarchist turnovers of city streets and riots. It also says that there was a researcher, and this researcher said that during his research that he feels that there was a cultural revolution. He said back in 2010, okay, that by 2020 something would come up because he says that the historical truths of social turmoil, which he found in his research, occurs about every 50 years. And on computer modeling that took note of socioeconomic factors that came and went in line with the times of the turmoil. And in 2010, this particular researcher predicted that 2020 was America's due year. I mean, that's that. I mean, when you look at it, no matter where they live or the party they typically vote for, think the country is growing apart. On political, racial, class lines, Americans think divisions are widening, okay, as well. And that's in reference to a Georgetown University poll, I might add. The poll also showed how people think how we got there. On one side are Republicans who say the Democratic political leaders and the media are responsible for the division. And, of course, on the other side, the Democrats who say Trump and his Republican allies and wealthy special interests are to blame. The only thing the two sides can agree on is that we're screwed. You know, like there's too much going on with that. You know,
I feel like the American people are stuck between two divorced parents. Oh. You know what I mean? And like these two sides just can't refuse to get along for the good of the American people. And both sides are at fault because it's only a two-party system. So who do you blame? It takes two to tango. Well, they're not doing what's best for the American people on both sides. And that's why I'm at where I'm at. Hmm. It says I'm not getting any phone calls on Zoom.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. So I don't know why the person's having a hard time calling in. I texted back to the person and told the person to hang up and try again. But they said they're not getting any calls. So you got to do it again and follow the instructions. Okay. Now, the other thing, Jamal, is that political leaders and prominent pundits invoking civil war to that environment, and you get a country that feels like it's getting ready to collapse. Now, look, I don't know. You know, my brother-in-law I think I mentioned this last week in South Carolina. you know, and he's a liberal, but he says, you know, I mean, different things that people have said, you know, they all feel the Civil War is coming. Jamal, in my heart, I don't believe that. I just think that's all part of the, I will say this. If there's an unrest after the election, I believe it'll be if Trump gets reelected, Jamal, because some of these people out there that are doing all these rioting, just remember that stuff's on the left. I don't care what they say. You could see that. Okay. Antifa, some of these other ones, those are left extremist groups, Jamal, that are doing that stuff in Portland, Seattle, and some of those other places. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I think you got two-way supporters surrounding federal buildings and stuff like that, too, man. I'm not going to let them off. I don't know, man.
You got what?
Somebody, you know, what was it in Michigan? Not necessarily the governor, but you got groups like, you know, the two-way Second Amendment rights people surrounding federal buildings with firearms and stuff like
Jamal,
that.
Jamal, they're surrounding the building to protect the building, okay? Why are they surrounding the building? They're surrounding the building to protect the building, Jamal, from the rioters.
No. These guys were doing it as of support for the 2A in protest because they feel like their gun rights are being threatened. You know, surrounding a federal building with automatic rifles is a show of intimidation. There's ways that could have been done. You know what I mean?
Okay, Jamal. All right. Well, let me ask you a question. They surrounded the building. Did they burn any of the buildings? Did they do any of that?
Bro, if somebody surround my building with firearms and stuff like that,
it's a federal building that they were trying to protect from the rioters and the looters, Jamal. The people you're talking about did not loot the federal building. I'm talking about looters. I know you didn't say that. Mm. I'm talking about looters, okay? I'm talking about people burning buildings and things of that nature. The center to it, Jamal, in my opinion, is that those people I'm talking about, these people go into stores in their own neighborhood, Jamal, people that are on their side with some of these issues and just burning and looting. And I'm telling you that what's going to happen is that if you see these riots afterwards, if Trump gets reelected, that's who you're going to see with this, in my opinion. If he doesn't get reelected, Jamal, I will make you a bet right now on the air that if Trump doesn't get reelected and Biden gets elected, Jamal, I will tell you, you're not going to see anything like these people are trying to put out there. Now, and it's on the air. I've said it. We wait and see what happens. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. I just think that with all of this stuff, it's all a matter of opinion. I think it's just a bunch of rhetoric. I think it's a scare tactic, Jamal, to get people out to go vote, okay, because they're afraid not to vote. That's what I think is going on.
I tell you what else is interesting, too. They kind of leads me to believe that people are legitimately worried about the Civil War thing. Like I said, I don't think it'll be like the original American Civil War or nothing like that. I think there might be spurts of actual violence in pockets of the country and things like that. But I actually know people and family members that I was highly surprised that has asked me to take them to the gun range to show them how to shoot, that's never owned a gun in their life probably, or never learned how to shoot. And now they're to a point that they're worried. You know what I mean? So
we talked about that last week. I talked about on the air that since March, more and more people are buying guns. Jamal, it's all part of the rhetoric because people are being afraid because of the rhetoric that's out there. You got people out there rioting in the streets, Jamal. People are going to be afraid, okay? That's the left. I don't care how you cut it. Those people up in Seattle, some of those other places, the unrest because of what happened to Mr. Floyd, okay, with the riots, that kind of stuff scares people. So that's right. Why they're running out. That doesn't mean that they're running out buying guns, Jamal, because after the election, okay, they're gonna try, you know, and have a civil war. Those people are buying guns to protect themselves from some of the things that we were just talking about.
Right.
Again, let's just wait and see. Trump gets reelected. I told you what my prediction is. If Trump doesn't get reelected, I've told you what my position is. Okay. I don't believe you're gonna hear a peep. Okay, that's what I think. Okay. We will see. Okay. Right. We'll just have to see. We didn't even have a chance to get to the Electoral College, but we'll be speaking again before the election anyway. You know, we'll be back on the air. Maybe take a moment. Let's skip that one because I think that one for this week is a little bit more detailed. But in the last few minutes here, we can certainly talk about the hate groups. Jamal, there are over 900, there's over 950 or 60 hate groups in this country. I mean, these are people, just to give you, I got the whole list, okay? So I'm just going to read some of these over just to give you an idea. So when we talk about hate groups, they're not all of these extremists or these white supremacists that everybody wants to talk about. You got the Arizona Patriots. You've got the, pro-English out of Arlington, Virginia. You've got Texans for Houston. You've got the American, look at some of this. The American Powder group out of Georgia. Bible believers out of Ohio. I mean, and yet these, some of these people label hate groups because they have a certain philosophy about the way that things are supposed to be done. So heterosexuals, are out of Illinois. I mean, mass resistance out of Austin, Texas. Same one out of Dallas, Texas. Same one out of Denver, Detroit, Fort Worth, Houston, Las Vegas, Maryland, San Diego, California, Seattle, Torrance. I mean, these groups, Jamal, are people that, the internet brings people together like never before. Okay. Right. So anybody can start a group. You and I can start a group.
Right.
And then right away, people will pick up on that. And depending on anything that we say or do, we're a hate group. California is first with the number of hate groups. They got 88. Texas is right behind them. Okay. They're number two.
It seems like the definition of a hate group has become, hey, man, simply saying like, hey, I don't agree with this, that, and the other. Oh, my God. It seemed like it just turns into something bigger than it should be.
Of course.
And you're a hate group.
Here's Act for America as an example. And these guys have so many. These guys have about 30 different locations, to make a long story short. Anyway, the host key is invalid. Bottom line, too much energy. And I hate it. Okay. So the person wasn't able to get through for whatever reason. I don't know.
Speaking of hate groups, are you familiar with NFAC? Now we talked about Proud Boys and things like that.
Okay, what are you calling it?
NFAC.
I-N?
The Not Effing Around Coalition.
No, Jamal, I'm not familiar with that one. I'm looking on my list here, so.
Well, they're somewhat kind of new. And they actually are a black militant group who has made different appearances in different cities. Like, for example, where Ahmaud Arbery was shot and killed.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, Jamal. Yes, I know the group you're talking about. Yes, I do know that group. They had guns, right? They had rifles and things.
Yeah, and they managed to shoot themselves a couple times over the last couple months. Listen, man, listen. I'm all about for my people, man. We have to be careful who we follow blindly. Do not follow anybody blindly. Learn about people, man, and what they really stand for and who they say they are.
Everybody's
got an
agenda.
Everybody has their own agenda. And I don't know. I don't know the guy, the head guy's name is Grandmaster Jay. That name alone, I'm not sure if I would follow anybody by that kind of name. But we just have to be careful what people say they're doing in the name of a movement,
That's like Black Lives Matter. One of the key people with Black Lives Matter, from what I understand, has been arrested because this person took like $250,000, bought some house and stuff like that. That was too much money to throw at these people. These people aren't all sophisticated. You start throwing all this money at them? Excuse me?
I think he had more than that, and he spent $250,000. $30,000 in cash was recovered, and none of those funds has went to any victims of what their movement is supposed to be.
It is what it is, man. Never mind. I was getting ready to say something, but I don't want to go there. All right. Hey, listen, everybody. You've been listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts and Jamal Potts at LA Talk Radio. And now it's basically time to close out the show. If you like what you heard, do us a favor and spread the word. Until next week, everybody, we want you to be safe out there. Not only, because we've preached for, 125 shows, about being safe. Now we mean being safe in a different way. Get those face masks on. pay attention to social distancing. We want you all to be safe out there. Jamal, any closing moment, our word?
Let's all try to respect each other's differences of opinions. We don't have to agree with each other, man, but let's respect one another's opinions, man, and our differences. We all have a right to have a different opinion, man. And let's learn how to accept those differences.
All right. Well said. Until next week. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.